Alright, let's take our book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. And last week we got down to verse number 9. This is the marriage supper of the Lord Jesus. And as we went to last Thursday, we had an offer on the marriage and people didn't want to come. It's almost like he went to the people of Israel. They didn't want to accept him. So he sends out to the Gentiles, whosoever will. So that seems to be where we are at this point. Let's begin by reading verses 9, 10, and 11. Matthew 22, 9, 10, and 11. Start with verse 9 together. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid for the marriage. So these servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished for the guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not a wedding garment. Right, verse number 9. When the ones that were invited to the wedding didn't come, what did the pastor tell him to do?
Well,
the question, the man just shall find. And in other words, it's a whosoever will. It's almost like in a Gentiles, everyone who wants to come to Christ, invite him to the wedding, to salvation by illustration. So the servants obey the master's wishes in verse number 10. Did they go out or did they stay home?
Yes.
They went out. We've got to obey our master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the highway. What do you think they went to the highway? What does that mean? Went to the highway. All the people, they walk on those highways back and forth to get food, to go to homes, and the furnishings, various things. The highway, what did they gather in? Just one or two?
Many good people.
How many did they find? What, as many as they found, right? Both got bad and good. In other words, now, when the gospel is preached to people, by way of illustration, this is a wedding, but if we don't talk about this in the gospel preaching, we preach it to everybody. Is everybody going to receive it? The gospel is ready. No, they're not. And some are receiving and some are not. But at least it's out for everybody, both bad and good. And what happened to the wedding guests? Do they have any empty seats?
It's real crowded with all these people.
Furnished with many guests. Furnished. Then in verse 11, when the king came to see the guests, what did he find? In verse 11. What is a wedding garment? What would that be? Did they dress up for weddings in Israel? By the way, questions at bfpbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us an email, give us a call, glad to hear from you. Question, comment, or just say, oh, come on.
Evidently, they had to wear what he supplied for them.
All right.
Maybe because they came, because they were...
Speaking of garments, historically, years ago, did most people have certain garments when they went to church? Well, they used to call those Sunday garments, right? Sunday clothes and special garments. Now, it's going to look like there's all kinds of wear regular junk stuff. So, but anyway, but the wedding garment was required, and someone did not have a wedding garment. It's called bad and good. If you apply that to the gospel, there would be somebody, if the invitation is there, but he's not prepared, he hasn't accepted Christ to save, maybe that's the one without a wedding garment. What did they do? Let's read verse 12, 13, and 14 again. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Right, verse 12, what did the king say about this man without the wedding garment?
So why don't you have a wedding garment on?
Because he knew it was a wedding, he was invited, but he didn't have one. In other words, he wasn't prepared. It's like in the case of salvation, you invite the people to come to Christ, but if they don't accept them, they don't have the garment of righteousness or the garment of Christ upon them, as it says in the book of Revelation. They had garments for Christ, but they were not. So what was the reaction when the man was asked this question? Verse 12, what does it mean to be speechless? Or what to say, can't talk. Are many of us speechless, or most of us have things to say?
Sometimes we're speechless.
Sometimes it's speechless, but most of the time we talk. But he was speechless. And then in verse 13, what did the king order the servants? It was a very serious order. First of all, what did he
have?
Find him first of all, hand and foot. In other words, he was in the wrong place. He was forcing himself. He was invited, but he wasn't prepared. And if we're invited to come to Christ, we must be prepared in Christ to salvation, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can be prepared. My illustration, Stefan?
The garment was there for him.
Yes.
It was there for him. So there was a way.
He refused to get the garment, trying to take the garment and to put the garment on. And the garment of salvation by faith in Christ is for everyone that's invited to salvation as well. We must accept that Savior, accept the garment. So what, after binding hand and foot, what else was the king told the servant to do?
Put it out in the dark.
The outer darkness. What's going to happen there? Weeping, wrestling. A picture of the lake of fire and of hell itself. And questions at dfbbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call. Give us a comment. Say hello. Glad to hear from you. Have fun.
Well, in this real life situation, where he was ever cast, there must have been other people there.
Yes. Well, probably many that will be there in hell. There'll be lots of people.
Now, this isn't hell, this is this way.
I know, but this is a picture. If we apply it to the lake of fire, a weeping, wailing, Nancy, in other words, it's a type of a very serious penalty, very serious torture and trouble. Now, the joke that has been asked many times. What if the people that are sent there have no teeth? Remember that joke? Gnashing of teeth. What if they don't have any teeth?
That's a bad joke, though.
What was that?
That's a bad joke, though.
I know. But what is the end of it?
You don't know.
Well, you just have to dumb it, that's all. Here's the answer to that. Anyhow, that's it. The gnashing is going to distribute your judgment of pain. Yes, Henry. From Canada.
Hello, Pastor Wade and everyone. Pastor Wade, this portion of scripture that you're looking at makes me think of Psalm 45, which I've been told it's a song of love and it's often read at Jewish weddings. And some of the verses say, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes, and cassia, out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made glad." And then it talks also about the king's daughter, all glorious skin, her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of silver. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. In gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. And then also as far as us being born again, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 3, it so be that being clothed not found naked.
Yes, very, very good. Thank you very much, Henry. Let's say wave to Henry up to Canada. Wave to her. She's up there in that place in Canada. Okay.
Sarnia,
Canada. Yes, Dan.
Greetings to you and those in attendance, as well as watching on the internet. Tonight I am glad to be joining everyone tonight for this study in Matthew. Thank you for streaming it over the internet. My fiance and I enjoy reading Mrs. Waite's posts on Facebook. Take care and God bless. I'm praying for you all. Robert Robinson.
Robert Robinson, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Thank you, Robert. Thank you very much. Yes, those are good verses, Henry. Thank you. The garments and the wedding garments and all the different things that they were arrayed in that the Lord can provide for us. All right, so wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then it says in verse 14, what does this verse mean? Many are called, you are chosen. They all were invited, But those are the ones that accepted and put on the wedding garment. By application of they, those accept Christ as Savior and Redeemer, they're the ones that are called and that are chosen. Yes, go.
Isn't this also something like God putting knowledge of himself in everyone? And very few people seem to notice few people want to pursue.
Want to pursue and accept. Yes, that's true. God wants everyone to come unto him. The Lord Jesus wants, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Few are chosen. Those that are accepting him, very few indeed. All right, let's read verse 15, 16, and 17 together. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, We know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of man. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? All right, in verse number 15, who are these Pharisees? It says they went out.
Jewish leaders.
And what does it mean to take counsel? What does it mean, take counsel?
Among themselves.
They want to talk it over the best possible way. Not just one person, but they want to agree and take counsel together. And what was the purpose of their counsel? What was the object?
And they wanted to figure out some way to trap him in his words.
Trap him. Entangle means what? Entangle.
Trap
and all mixed up in his talk. Now, how would somebody want to entangle something? What's it then?
Ensnare.
Okay, Bill, that's good. Do people try to sometimes entangle us in our talk? Mm-hmm. How do they do it? And why do they do it, do you think?
Well, sometimes, let's say if you're in a courtroom and the prosecutor wants an open and shut case or wants to define his case as simply as possible, then he's going to lead you in questioning, point you in a certain direction, hopefully to get you to incriminate yourself.
Okay, anyone else? Any other way to entangle us in that problem?
The
unsaved one
entangles
when we want to
share the gospel.
Okay, and I share the gospel, they have a bunch of objections and entangles, so they want to entangle the Lord Jesus and his talk as well. And so in verse 16, who did they send out to the Lord? Who did they send out unto him? Disciples and with the Herodians. Now, who were they?
Yes.
Who did they follow, the Herodians?
Herod.
Oh, they followed Herod and his unbelief. And what did they say to the Lord? They called him Master. First of all, they accepted that they agreed with something. What did they agree on?
They are true.
What's the second thing they agreed on?
He's
the Lord God and truth. And what's the third thing they agreed on?
He cares thou.
What does that mean, thou dost not care for any man? In what sense?
Doesn't care what they say.
Doesn't care what they say, not influenced adversely what they say. What's the fourth thing?
Not
the person of man. In other words, these are all true statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. They recognize that. They're still trying to trap him, aren't they? Trying to trap him in his words. And they ask a question in verse 17. What did they ask? What was the question these Herodians and Pharisees asked the Lord Jesus?
Is it lawful to give
tribute
to Caesar?
Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar? In other words, a simple question. But they tried to trap him in his word. They snare him and trap him and entangle him like they're all entangled in a rope. Let's read 18, 19, and 20 together. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why can't you me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. He said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? What did the Lord Jesus say? What did he think? And what was in his thoughts? in verse 18.
They knew.
How did he know?
He's omniscient.
He's omniscient, all knowing. He knew them. He perceived their wickedness. He knew right into their hearts. He knew exactly what they're trying to do. He'd share them in his words. And that's why they asked this question, very serious question. By the way, what is tribute money?
Taxes.
Taxes, all right. Give tribute to tax money to Caesar. And it's tax money. And you see the written, and then he asked a question to them. What question did the Lord Jesus ask of these Pharisees? Well, in verse 18.
Why did Jesus say?
The Lord, that's what I mean. What did the Lord Jesus say to them? Why do you tempt me and test me out? What do you call them?
Hypocrites.
What is a hypocrite?
Okay, this person said one thing but means something else.
Said one thing means something else. They're just as very religious people that are trying to ensnare the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, to come to seek and save that which was lost. Why tempt me? What's tempt me in this case?
Test.
Want to test him out. They said he was true. They said that they had to teach the way of God in truth and couldn't care for any man. But then they're still trying to tempt him to perceive their wickedness. They had a wicked heart. And then what was the Lord's response in verse 19 to the payment of taxes?
Show me a coin.
A tribute money, which would be something to pay for taxes. What did they do when they asked for a penny? What did they do? In verse 19.
They brought him a penny.
See, in other words, he was very wise in telling them to go out and get some tax money, some tribute money, a penny. Bring it to me. They brought it to him. And then the question in verse 20, what was the question of the Lord Jesus in verse 20?
The image.
What is that image? What does that mean?
The picture
on the penny. What is superscription? That's what the writing. So the picture and the writing. Let's read verse 21, 22, and 23. They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. The same day came to the Sadducees to say that there is no resurrection and asked him. All right, verse 21. When asked, bring me a penny, they brought him, and they say, whose is the image and superscription? What was the answer to that?
Caesar's.
Picture of Caesar, Julius Caesar. And then what did the Lord Jesus say to them once they told him it was Caesar?
Caesar,
Caesar, the things that are Caesar. In other words, Caesar stamped his face on that and his superscript on that penny. Give it to him. Let's see. But what's the next thing he said?
God,
the things of God. For us today, if we're saved by God's grace and genuinely born again, what would that message say to us? What is it that we're to render to God?
Ourselves.
And if we're saved, we belong to the Savior.
Made
in the image of God, and that's all people saved or lost. But those that are born again, we have now become the temple of the Spirit of God. If we're saved, our bodies are the temple of God. And we're not our own, as it says in Scripture, we're bought with a price. And we're to render to God the things that are God's. Do all Christians, born again Christians, render what they ought to God?
No.
No, it's sad. It's very, very difficult, not easy, to give ourselves to the Lord and walk in His way. And everybody else wants us to walk in their way. And they crack the whip over sometimes. What was the reaction of the Herodians when he said this? The Herodians and the Pharisees, they were amazed, they marveled when they rendered, he had a good answer, see, they couldn't trap him, he was not to be trapped, not to be entangled in his words, and they marveled. What does marveling mean?
Astonished, marveled,
and what did they do then after that? They asked them more questions? They left him. I took care of him and went their way. And then in verse 23, that's the last verse we'll take tonight, but who came to him at that time?
The Sadducees.
Now, it says, what is one of their doctrinal statements?
That
No resurrection. Let's just read verse 24 and we'll close the letter. Saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Let me read 25. We'll take these up next week. There were with us seven brethren, and the first one he had married a wife, deceased, having no issue, left his wife unto his brethren. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the second. How long to take this up? What is it?
They must have had a pestilence.
Yes. So these are Sadducees. The Herodians and the Pharisees stopped asking questions, but then the Sadducees came, and they had a whole bunch more questions, didn't they? Do you ever have comments or questions about this before we close tonight? Why is not, then let's close the word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the word of Scripture. We thank you that thou hast prepared the Lord Jesus to die for our sins, to send him to this earth, seeking to save that which was lost. We thank you for his rich salvation, those of us who accepted him and trusted in him. Thank you for the provision, his garment that he's given to us, eternal life. Guide us and direct us, bring us back safely on the Lord's day. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.